Hello, Market Watcher. I'm David Revelle, and this is ValueSide.com at the close. For all of our podcasts, articles, references, and charts, visit ValueSide.com. Here at the close, the Fed speaks, the dollar sinks. At the close today, we see stocks finishing higher, although just barely, bonds lower. And it was a very interesting day as the Federal Reserve rolled out the big guns to address the financial community. Five Fed speeches today, including one by Fed Chairman Powell and Vice Chair Clarita. What makes it so interesting is the reaction. Normally on a day like today, you'd expect to see a very firm U.S. dollar as the nation's central bank gives direction and confidence to our currency. But not today. Against almost every measure, the dollar retreated today. Against gold, the dollar was down. Against oil, down again. Against all the major currencies, the euro, the British pound, the Japanese yen, and of course all cryptocurrencies, dollar all down. There's something in the air, something that is not giving people in this country or the world confidence in U.S. economic leadership. And this is an important measure of sentiment that we often don't get to see. So overall, we see the dollar was down all across the board today. But stocks, on the other hand, up once again. That's something like 10 or 11 days in a row for the NASDAQ. Gold and oil and cryptos, all up also. Bonds were the only section that was down. Stay tuned now for today's market comment, a look at vaccine maker Moderna and Pfizer. This week we have the Federal Reserve and the President headed in exactly opposite directions. For the Federal Reserve, it's time for restraint, as the Fed looks at an economy with inflation running hot and is moving to slow things down. Witness the last meeting of the Open Market Committee and the Fed's beginning taper with higher interest rates on deck. We also want to make note of the 8 Fed speeches over the next couple of days, an indication that the Fed wants to tell us something. And that something is likely restraint. Slow things down. Watch the inflation monitors, says the Fed. President Biden, on the other hand, is on a completely different page. This week he will sign the new $1 trillion infrastructure bill designed to speed this economy up, advertised as the way to fund transportation, utilities, and the internet, thereby increasing jobs. The president's plan says forget inflation, we want growth. In short, what we're getting in an economic policy going forward is monetary restraint with fiscal stimulus. It's like driving with one foot on the gas pedal and one foot on the brake. It makes little sense. Complicating all this is that the Fed, if their objective is truly to fight inflation, must do so with one hand tied behind their back. You'll notice that all of the discussions from the Fed last meeting centered on reducing their bond purchases, the quantitative easing part, and not on raising interest rates. Oh, sure, said the Fed, we'll raise interest rates, but not yet. Not yet, because Biden is about to add $1 trillion in debt to our national balance sheet, and the interest on that is going to be bad enough. But to raise rates just ahead of that $1 trillion borrowing would really be a disaster. So here we are today, with a president on the deck yelling for full steam ahead, while down in the engine room, the Federal Reserve is trying to slow this ship of state. And we wonder why Washington is dysfunctional. Now, in economic news over the weekend, late on Friday, we had the report that consumer debt skyrocketed in September. The consumer spent nearly $30 billion more, double what the street expected. Perhaps they're stocking up for the winter. In other economic news, remember that $80 billion trade deficit the U.S. racked up last month? Well, I think we've found it. That's right. China's trade surplus for the month, $84 billion. It all makes sense now. Closer to home, we'll have those five Federal Reserve speeches today and the consumer's expectation on inflation. In earnings reported so far, advertising company Trade Desk and Pfizer spinoff Viatris, both stocks trading higher at the moment. Later, we'll get the results from a traditional entertainment company and a new virtual reality entertainment company. First up, AMC Entertainment, the movie theater people, and then Roblox, a 3D entertainment company. Over at the futures desk, we see stocks are flat, precious metals mixed, with oils and cryptos higher. Stay tuned now for our market comment. What's the Moderna stock trying to tell us? Well, it's the sort of thing that has to catch your eye. Moderna, the COVID-19 vaccine maker, lost an incredible 31% of its value this week. That's $43 billion wiped out in a single week, more than half of that on Thursday alone. So just what's happening to this former darling of Wall Street, the can't-miss company producing the most in-demand product in the world? Something doesn't add up here, and I thought we should take a closer look. Now, the Moderna story began back in 2010, when a couple of Harvard professors got together to form a company built around the new biotechnology of ribonucleic acid, or just RNA, one of the building blocks of life. Deriving their company's name from modified RNA, they came up with the name Moderna. Flash forward to the COVID-19 pandemic, and Moderna was able to get the second emergency use authorization for their modified RNA injection. Loosely called a vaccine, this really represented an entirely different technology. Approved, as we said, under an EUA, the emergency use authorization, by the USA, most other countries around the world have followed suit. And voila, Moderna was off and running, suddenly producing the most in-demand product in all the world. And no less an authority than Bill Gates declared that the vaccines should be administered to the entire world population, over 7.75 billion people, and Moderna was one of only four companies producing the EUA-approved vaccine. Needless to say, Wall Street was ecstatic. They had found the holy grail of healthcare, a product that everyone urgently needed and had the potential for worldwide distribution. You could see the wheels turning. Moderna began this year at slightly over $100 per share, and by August, it had reached nearly $500 per share. Joining the S&P 500 in June, it became its best-performing stock almost at the same time. It was a trader's dream come true. And then, a strange thing began to occur with Moderna's stock. It started to decline. At just the time that things should really get going, suddenly, Moderna's stock went lower and lower. This past week is only the latest move in what is by now a well-established downtrend, from an intraday high of $493 in August to an intraday low on Friday of just $210. A more than a 50% correction in Moderna in just the past 3 months. It's a clear indication that Moderna has been in its own bear market. Now, the conventional wisdom on Wall Street is that this decline has been due entirely to Moderna's inability to produce enough of their vaccine. And that makes some sense. At their quarterly earnings report, Moderna did indicate that they would not make their yearly goal of producing 1 billion doses. In fact, they might only make 700 to 800 million doses. That was because Moderna doesn't have the production facility of, say, Pfizer. Now, Pfizer, with its worldwide production and distribution, is able to far outstrip newcomer Moderna. Pfizer is the real model of how these vaxes should be produced and distributed. So, if Pfizer is the model of how the vax should be produced and distributed, I thought it made sense to take a look at how Pfizer's stock is performing. After all, Pfizer also has this incredible product and the ability to deliver it to the marketplace, something Moderna lacks. And here in the charts was yet another of those real puzzles. Pfizer's stock, you see, looked almost exactly like Moderna's, a big rally from June through August, but then that same big decline beginning in August. And to be fair, Pfizer's chart does show a counter-trend rally beginning mid-October, but that now seems to be over, as on Friday, Pfizer's stock dropped below its 50-day moving average. So what's going on here? Why are these two principal vaccine producer stocks both declining at just the time things should be moving into high gear? Now, just a note here, I'm leaving out Johnson & Johnson because it's such a well-diversified company, although it does show some of the same trends, it's much more muted because of Johnson & Johnson's portfolio of additional products. So here we have these two vaccine producers, Moderna and now Pfizer's, whose stocks are declining just when you think they would be rallying. And the question is why? Now, could it be that the average consumer of this product has changed their mind on just what its effectiveness is? According to the website ourworldindata.org, deaths from COVID virus peaked in May of 2020. By August of last year, the COVID death rate was only half of May's rate, and by January of this year, only half of August's rate. In other words, the risk from COVID death is rapidly falling. At the same time, the risk from the vaccine seems to be rising. According to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, there have been over 4,400 deaths from the Moderna vaccine and over 12,000 deaths from the Pfizer vaccine. Now, the academics may argue and argue and argue over the relative importance of these numbers. But one simple fact is emerging. Consumer perception is changing. A vaccine that was once considered 100% safe and 100% effective is now being seen as less safe and perhaps even less effective. What I'm saying is the market is changing. After all, the vaccine is at its core a healthcare product, not unlike any other pharmaceutical product. And its success or failure will be measured in its acceptance in the marketplace. Right now, these drug companies, along with the CDC and the federal government, are using some of the worst marketing efforts I've ever seen, using unconstitutional demands and trying to bully people into taking your drug is a sure way to get the American people in full revolt. Treat me like a child and command that I do something does not promote goodwill and more sales. The distribution of COVID vaccine depends on the ability of the government and agencies to convince the American people that taking the vax is in our best interest. That sale has not been made. And that's thevaluesign.com for Monday, November 8. For all our podcasts, articles, references, and charts, visit valuesign.com. I'm David Revelle. Please join me in praying that our country may get back to work.